As we continue our study in this chapter, in this entire book, in fact, 2 Corinthians 4, as we begin reading with verse 7. Listen carefully to God's word. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. But since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says in writing the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We haven't had too much to cheer about in the Winter Olympics. I'm sure that all of you were glad to see Brian Botano finally win a medal and a gold medal, in fact, for the United States. I guess we'll have to wait until the Summer Olympics before we begin making another dent. That's not taking anything away from our winter American athletes. I think there is a decided bias against our country ever doing well in those type of games, particularly the winter games, and particularly because of the restrictions that we place on our athletes. They are amateurs, very unprofessional, but they seem professional sometimes. Regardless, one of the things that I enjoy about the Summer Olympics is the boxing. Now, I know that there are some Christians who, in good conscience, are against boxing. And I can understand that men have died in the boxing ring. And yet, I suppose there is some interest in. I hope that it's not a baser, violent nature that occasions the interest that I have in just watching boxing. But one of the things that I admire about boxing during the Olympics is watching some individual get knocked down flat. There he is to the count of nine. The referee holding up, how many fingers do I have to make sure he's okay? And seeing him come back to fight round two. And that's true in other boxing as well. And it's true metaphorically in the Christian life. Because in the Christian life, it is not a matter of just being knocked down, because you are going to be knocked down. But he is a Christian. He is a true Christian who, after being knocked down, gets up to fight round three, and then round four, and round five, and six, until the 15 are completed, and it's over. Sometimes we feel with the temptations and the trials and the pressures of life, we feel like we ought to just throw in the towel. We're so disappointed. We're so frustrated. We feel the pressure of defeat and failure all around us. But Paul says in this passage and reminds us, we are down sometimes, but we're not out. That is what Paul is speaking of in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 15, and this extraordinary and beautiful passage. In verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We are down sometimes, but we're not out. I want us to consider three things this morning. The first thing is the kind of life that we are to have, and how we are to have that kind of qualitative life, that we may, though we are knocked down, may not be counted out. For the Apostle Paul says, firstly, and the first thing that we want to consider is in verse 7, where he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are the vessels of God. We are earthen vessels. Now, as I just mentioned, earthen vessel, I reminded myself that I was going to bring to the pulpit with me this morning an old potsherd, a part of a pot that is 5,000 years old, that comes from Israel. You can see on the outside that it is just old, and the inside, very old vessel. I forgot to bring it, but I'll describe it to you. In fact, I just did. It's an old vessel, and it's earthen. It's an old clay pot. That is the kind of vessel that God says that you and I are as believers. Now, we're not porcelain vases or vases for someone to sit back and to admire and say, oh, you know, that is beautiful. That life, that individual. We are not Yadro mantelpieces to be placed in the living room. We are the pots and the skillets and the pans. We are but earthen vessels. We're not fine English bone china to be tucked away in somebody's mahogany dining room cabinet. We're the Tupperware. That is the Christian. We're not to be believers in order to be those who are simply to be admired and looked at and to be observed as something that is extraordinary and attractive and beautiful. Rather, we are the earthen vessel. We are an earthen vessel. That means, in the first place, that we are to be of use. And in order to be of use, then we won't be fine bone china. We will be a pot or a pan. At our last session meeting, I want to tell you something that went on. We talked about the ministry that was needed in the First Presbyterian Church. Most of the men were there, all except three. Good representation. A couple of them were out of town. We met and we talked about the fact that there needs to be, on the part of every elder in this church, a ministry that he claims for his own. And we said that before we leave this meeting tonight, every man in this room is going to have a ministry that he will say is my ministry. He is a vessel. He is an earthen vessel, and that's exactly what happened. And then 2 weeks later, we did the same thing in the Board of Deacons. Sometimes I hear things that are unkindly, or perhaps I should say hastily spoken about this board, the deacons, as well as the elders. But I want to tell you, these men who accepted a ministry and who said, this is what I want to do in service to Christ in His church, they deserve your support and your prayer and your commitment to stand behind them. As I believe their purpose is to stand with you in ministry, to minister to you, and to see Christ's presence poured out in this fellowship. They have a ministry. They are earthen vessels. And believe me, the purpose of an earthen vessel is to contain something. That is to contain something for usefulness. What are we to contain? We're contained, as verse 7 says, we have what? This treasure in earthen vessels. You are but an earthen vessel. You have been placed upon earth not for everybody to admire, either physically or spiritually, but you have been placed upon earth that you may be the vessel into which God pours the eternal riches of Jesus Christ, and that out of that vessel, you may have treasure to give to those around you. We are to contain the treasure so that we may give to those around us. What kind of treasure are we speaking of? Look back in verse 4:1. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry. And then look in verse 6. It says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who is shown in our hearts. You see, the treasure that Paul is speaking about is the treasure, in the first place, of your salvation, and in the second place, the treasure of the light of the gospel that he has given to you in your life. That this treasure may be in you, and this treasure may shine and may be shared with those around you. Now, Here is the thing about an earthen vessel. If this vessel, or take this glass, it's a vessel. If this glass were full of sand, it couldn't very well be filled with water. Or if it were filled with something else, it couldn't be filled with this water. It was only after it was emptied and someone washed it and cleaned it, I hope, and that they will do that every week. Hint, hint. It is only after the vessel has been emptied that you can fill it. Now listen to me. It is only after you are empty of yourself that you become a earthen vessel fit for the treasures of God to be poured into. Did you follow me? In order to contain the treasure of God, you must be empty. That's what I'm saying. You must first realize that by yourself and in yourself, you have no power to manifest the presence or the power of God. Look at verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you see the contrast? You see the unequal contrast that you and I are but earthen vessels, a dirt clay pot. We're not the treasure. God is the treasure. But listen to me. He can pour into you, the dirt clay pot, the treasure of the living God, so that you may have the power of God. But that's only after you have emptied yourself of yourself. I think Jesus put it this way in John 12:24. He said, truly, truly, except a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. Follow me. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. It is only after you have died. And this is the principle. If you will die to yourself, then you will live. If you will lose your life, you will find your life. If you will be willing to sacrifice your life will be found and it will be of use and it will have treasure. But if you're not willing to let go, then you will never grasp. Only when you realize that you and I are but earthen vessels, we're but clay pots. And only as we realize, as we empty ourselves, that the treasure of God may be poured into us, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of you or of me, will you and I be able to say that I am knocked down, but I am not knocked out. Because if you've been filling yourself with yourself, when you're knocked down, you're not going to get up. If your vessel is already filled with your values and your principles and your lifestyle, when you are knocked down, you will not get back up. We're vessels of God. We are the earthen vessels of God, and we are those who will invariably and inevitably, and this is the second point, we will be singed, for the lack of a better word, by the burners of life. I think that's what Paul indicates in this passage in verses 8 when he talks about being hard pressed and yet not crushed and perplexed and not in despair, persecuted, not forsaken, struck down and not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Is he just talking about walking around with these lacerations in his flesh where he had been whipped. No! What he is talking about is, I have been willing to give up self. In the trials of life, that Christ may be manifest. You see, God has a purpose in allowing the trials to singe you. And that's in verse 10. Listen. It's so clear. He says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. What is the purpose? Why are we the vessels of God? Why is it that we can expect, just like an old clay pot vessel that is placed on the fire and things are cooked in it and it becomes singed and burned around the edges, just like your pots and pans at home, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in your body? You see, your body is the visible manifestation of what you are. And the question is, are you manifesting the life of Jesus with your body, all that you are, whether physically or visibly what you are, or do you manifest a principle and a value and a lifestyle that does not follow Jesus Christ? God has a purpose in allowing trials, in being singed by the burners of life, and His purpose is that the life of Jesus may be formed in you, so that by this death, by this suffering, by this deprivation, by this incident, by this disappointment and by this frustration, by this temptation, the life of Jesus may be formed in you, that in your body you bear the dying of the Lord Jesus, because you die to yourself and to what your natural reactions and actions would be. The principle is this, once again. If you die, you live. And if you live, you will die. You see, practically speaking, so we're not just talking about concepts and abstract ideas. What does that mean practically, to die to yourself? It means this. When somebody hurts you, you refuse to hurt them back. When somebody criticizes you, you refuse to criticize them back. Now that's not natural. When you have a right to offend somebody or attack somebody because they have attacked you, and you deny yourself that right, you have died to yourself. Because what you would really like to do is take off your shoe and chase them down the block and pound on them every step of the way. But instead of choosing and allowing hatred and bitterness to build up in you, you allow the life of Jesus to be created in you. And you say, I'm not going to criticize. I'm not going to attack. I am going to have a spirit of forgiveness. You die to your natural inclination. There's another way of dying, not dying and letting the life of Jesus be manifested in you, that's more positive than that. And that is this: when you give up your time, and many of you do that in an extraordinary way. One of the great blessings that I have in the ministry is to see lay people who are not salaried for their ministry in a church or outside the church. I know one time in a church I had one lay individual, after a short time of being there, come to me. And he said, "Langston, I have 15 or 20 hours a week, and I want to give them to you and to the church. Will you tell me and show me what I can do?" He just died to himself. And I practically died too, for anybody to say that. So after I picked myself up, I began finding things for him to do. When you give your time and you devote your possessions and you allow your home to be used, as we're going to do for Bellhaven Choir or for the missionaries that are coming up or entertaining international students, or when you allow your comforts and your interest and your own desires to simply go by the board, you are dying to yourself, because you're saying no to what you would naturally like to do and how you would naturally like to spend your time and your interest and your opportunities. But you are saying, "Lord, I'm willing to let the life of Jesus be revealed and manifested in me." What kind of life is that? It is the life that He gives you now, but it is more than that. It is a life that reaches into eternity. In verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." Verse 14, I should say. "He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you." Present us with you means that one day Jesus Christ will present us in heaven. To whom will we be presented? To whom will we be introduced? When we leave this body, the Lord Jesus Christ will take us and He will introduce us to the heavenly court. "Heavenly court, I want to introduce to you Tim Simpson. He is a believer. He has been redeemed and washed in the blood of Christ. Welcome him." That is the scene. You and I, when we leave this earth. And that is why Paul says we can be down, but we're not knocked out. Why? Because though you are knocked down, you need to be reminded that it is through your trials and through being singed by the burners of life that the treasures of God are poured into you. Because if you had it all your way, friend, you would never have treasure of God. Atheists do just fine without God, particularly when the blessings and the good things in life are happening to them. But the true treasure that you will possess will be that treasure that comes to you when you have been singed through the burners of life. And then you have to remind yourself, when you're knocked down, that one day you will be presented into the heavenly court. One day, our opportunity will be to stand with Christ. The media today, and though there's nothing wrong with media, for it's a neutral thing, it's neither bad or good, and so we can't blame everything, but if you have swallowed the media barrage as to what is meaningful in life for you today, you're going to become a materialist and a secularist, and you're going to become me first before everything else. So if Paul reminds you, he says, listen, don't turn life upside down. This life is not what it's all about. The next life. Keep your perspective, and then when you're knocked down, you won't be knocked out. God's purpose is to provide for you a designer life. We hear a lot about designer clothes. I remember one of the girls one time when we went fishing, and I'm almost done, even though I would rather not be, frankly. I've got at least a whole nother point to go. But I'll summarize. We were going fishing one time, and it was at a little cabin where we were staying in North Georgia, and one of the girls happened to come out that morning. I had been out a little early, and then they came out, and one took a fishing pole, or at least I gave the fishing pole to one of the girls, and she said, oh, shoot, if I had known I was going fishing, I wouldn't have worn my Gloria Vanderbilt jeans. Or Calvin Klein, or whatever it was. The interesting thing about it, and I'm sure that designer clothes are good, and I'm not knocking them. But what I am pointing out to you is that your life is a designer life. Okay? There's no life like yours. There's only one. God has designed your life to fit. It's perfect to fit just you. He has created your life just for you to live, designed especially by the Creator. And when He made you, He did throw away the pattern. Some of us say, well, thank God. The point is that when you are knocked down, remember this, that it is when you're down and in the trials of life that the treasures are poured into you. You need to keep your perspective of eternity, and you need to remember that your life has been especially designed, and one day it will be, as it were, recycled. The pottery that I was going to show you cannot be recycled. It is 5,000 years old, and it can never be made into a pot again. It cannot. It is broken. It is over. But even though when your life is finally broken, dead, and buried, and 6 feet under, listen, let me tell you, the miracle is you're going to be recycled. The molecular structure of your body is going to be brought back in the miracle of the new creation, so that in the kingdom of God, you're going to be made over. You have been designed. Designed by the Creator. So when you're knocked down, get back up and fight the next round. Maybe the reason you feel so discouraged and tired is that you've been trying to fight the rounds in your own strength. What did the verse 7 say? That the excellency of the power may be of whom? Of you? Your power? No, of the power of Jesus Christ. What you need to do is to fight in His power, not in yours. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the fact that even though sometimes we are indeed knocked down, we are not out. We thank You for Jesus Christ and for the fact that He is adequate to save us from our sin, to save us eternally. And that through Him You have designed our lives to manifest the life of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to live the life of Jesus, to die to self, that the life of Christ may be manifested in us, and that that life may continue to blossom and to flourish until we get to eternity and are presented before the court of heaven. Father, help those who right now, if they were to enter into your presence, would not be presented in heaven. Help them to have faith and repentance and to put their trust in you, to know that they rest securely in you. And help each one who names the name of Christ to reveal the life of Christ. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all that love our Lord Jesus with sincerity. Amen.